Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to follow along with me, I'm going to be speaking to you from Psalm 107. Psalm chapter 107. I would like for us to look just for a moment at God's goodness. His goodness. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." He is so good. He is not just one of the things that is good. He is the source of all good. He's the source of it. He is where all goodness comes from. He is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. There's a song that we sang in our congregation, and one of the lines says, "God is great, God is good. So, so good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." His goodness is what brought mercy to sinners like us. Forever. Mercy forever. That's goodness. That he would show mercy forever. Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." This is the order of events that takes place in the salvation of all of God's children. It started with God's goodness and his love. This is where salvation begins. God's goodness and his love. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners." Didn't start with us getting rid of our sin first, and then he loved us. No, he commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5 say, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." Salvation began with God's goodness and God's love. That's what led to him giving us what we, not giving us what we deserve, mercy. That's what led to him showing sinners like us mercy. You know, all we deserve is punishment and wrath. That's all we deserve. We have sinned against him. I know I'm a sinner, and I believe you know you are too. Just go for a minute into your mind and see what's in there, and that ought to tell us what's in this heart. That ought to remind us of what comes out of this mouth, the desires of the flesh, the sinners. And what do sinners against God deserve? Punishment and wrath. But God's goodness brought mercy. Mercy. It led to him not giving us what we deserve by giving it to Christ. Giving Christ what we deserve on our behalf. When Christ received the gift of our sin, God gave the sin of his people. He has a particular people. He chose a people to save. And when he took their sin and gave it to Christ on the cross of Calvary, he made the payment that was required for our sin in the shedding of his blood. And at that moment, we received the gift of redemption. When Christ made that payment, immediately our slate was wiped clean. Everything was restored back to God. And then in his good time, through the message of the gospel, he calls out and he gathers his redeemed into his sheepfold. He gathers his people together around his word, around his truth. Verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. That's goodness, isn't it? Such goodness. Look with me at Psalm 2. He said in Psalm 2, verse 7, now this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, my Father hath said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The Father said to the Son, if you ask me, if you ask this of me, if you want it, and you ask for it, I'll give you all of my elect sinners. I'll give you all of their sin for an inheritance. That's what you get. And then judgment will be shown accordingly. And Christ said, Lord, I'd love to have it. Where I am, I want them to be also. And God the Father gave it to him. In John 17, the Lord said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And he took it so that we could be. God's goodness brought mercy. Mercy through the death of Christ. And that mercy brought redemption. Total redemption. Brought us back to him. That's what redemption is. It brings us back to God. Well, back in Psalm 107, verse 1 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. They tried this religion, and they tried that religion, and they tried this church, and that church, and this preacher, and that preacher. Just wandering, searching, looking. Verse 5 says, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They craved the righteousness of Christ, but they didn't know it. They didn't know it. They were hungry, but they didn't know what for. They didn't know what they were hungry for. They were missing something, but they didn't know what they were missing. There's a dear man who I know, he has gone on to be with the Lord now. He passed away many years ago, but when he was a younger man, he was in religion. One of God's sheep, but he didn't yet know it. God had not called him out yet. But as he sat in religion, he told his wife, he said, I don't know what I'm not hearing, but I know I'm not hearing it. I don't know what it is that I'm missing, but I know that there's something missing. Something missing. And God caused him to go searching until he found it. And he said, that's it. And that's how it is for God's people. They're wanderers. They're searching, and they don't know what for exactly. Verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. God delivers his people out of their distresses. Over in Matthew chapter 5, it says in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be. That's goodness. They don't even know what they're hungry for, but God said, I'm going to fill them. And that's his goodness. Verse 7, Psalm 107, verse 7, it says, he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. He led them forth by the right way. Psalm 23 says, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Thomas said correctly when he said, "We don't know the way." Naturally speaking, man does not know the way. He led them forth by the right way, the way of his righteousness. What is righteousness? What is righteousness? Well, we just saw in Matthew 5, it said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He leads me in paths of righteousness." What is righteousness? It's Christ. It's Christ. He leads me in paths of Christ. Through His Word, He puts my eyes on Christ. He puts my mind on Christ. He brings my heart to Christ. He tunes my ear to Christ. Verse 7, "He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation." The fellowship of God's people in a congregation, whenever God starts to reveal Christ to His people, He brings them to where Christ is preached. He'll put the message of Christ in a preacher, and God's people will hear that message and gather to it, and they'll want to be together. And when God's people are gathered around the gospel and God blesses it by His Spirit, He said, "Where two or three are gathered in My name, I'm in the midst of them." And when God does that and He blesses His Word by His Spirit, in those moments, God's people know. They know He's right here in the midst of us. And it's a foretaste of glory divine. Do you know what heaven is? Here's what heaven is. It's being in the presence of Christ. Wherever He is, that's heaven. Heaven is not just a heavenly, or eternal kingdom, golden streets and things like that. It's wherever Christ is. Being in His presence is heaven. Heaven. Well, verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." He fills it with goodness. The word goodness means pleasantness, agreeableness, excellence, richness. This is what it means. Better. That's what the word means. Better. They cry, "This is better." We were out here eating the husk of religion and false doctrine and this and that. Now we've heard Christ. We've fed on Christ. And oh, it's better. The word also means happy. This is happy. He fills the soul with happy. The flesh may be miserable, but the soul is happy. It means understanding. It means kindness. It means rightness. And we can summarize every bit of that by saying Christ. He fills the soul with Christ. Now, who does He do that for? God has a people, and He does not do this for every soul standing on the earth. So who does He do it for? Who has He chosen specifically, particularly, to do that for? Verse 10, "Such as sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." Why do they sit in darkness? Why are they bound in affliction and iron? Verse 11, "Because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High." That's why. So what did He do for them in His goodness? How did His goodness come to them? Verse 12, "Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help." The same thing that He did for Saul of Tarsus, He does that same thing for every soul that He has redeemed. The Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, said in 1 Timothy 1:16, he said, "I'm a pattern for every soul that God chooses to save. What He did for me, He'll do that for every child of His." Well, what did He do for you, Paul? He brought me down. I was riding to Damascus in all of my self-righteousness and all of my own works, religion. And he put me in the dust. He said, I am. He knocked me off of my high horse. And he put me down in the dust. I fell down. And there was none to help but Christ. None but him. That's goodness. That is goodness. When sinners become broken and stripped down, that's the moment to get excited. That's the moment to get happy. That's the moment to be hopeful that God's goodness is coming to a sinner. When they're just crying in their heart, woe is me, I'm wretched, I'm undone, that's goodness. Now, why is that God's goodness to a sinner? Why would that be God's goodness to a sinner? It's because verse 13 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. That's why. They weren't crying before, but they're crying now. Help me, Lord. Oh, help me. I see who you are. I see what I am. Verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Once the truth of sin is revealed to a sinner, not just the sin of mankind, the sin of me. Once my sin is revealed, once the truth of Christ is revealed, the truth of salvation in him, when that comes to a sinner, it sets the sinner free. Everything he's been trying to do to appease God, when he sees Christ did it for him, paid my debt, and he set me free. It's freeing. If you know the truth will set you free. It's freeing. It's his goodness. In Isaiah 61, he said, this is Christ speaking, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Bound by sin, bound by religion, bound by our own works and self-righteousness, set them free. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He did it. In the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. It's wonderful, isn't it? Over in Matthew 11, it says in verse 1, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. You know what you call that? Goodness. Goodness. All of that physical goodness. He really did those things. All of that physical goodness represents spiritual goodness. Goodness to the sinful soul. The spiritually blind see Christ. The spiritually lame, those who can't come, they come running to Christ. The spiritually filthy, they're washed in the blood of Christ. The spiritually deaf hear the voice of Christ. The spiritually blind, spiritually dead, are given the life of Christ. And the spiritually poor, the empty, the broke, they have the unsearchable riches of Christ preached to them. That's goodness. Oh, that's such goodness. The Lord is so good. Well, back in Psalm 107, it says in Psalm 107, verse 17, fools That's who we just read about. That describes us. That's who he did all this for. Verse 17 says, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of all their distresses." What made them cry? What made them know to even cry out to him in the first place? Verse 20 says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." He sent his word to them. He let them know. David said in Psalm 27, "When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek." You started it. I just responded. Verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Oh, that men would do that. He's so good, start to finish. Verse 22, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." That's our reasonable service, isn't it? Christ made the great sacrifice of redemption. He died for his people. So our thank you, our rejoicing is our reasonable service in return. But not only that, that's what we desire. That's the heart desire of all of God's people. We gladly say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you for making us whole. Thank you for all of this salvation, rich and free." We sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we tell everybody we can of his wonderful works with rejoicing. This really is the happiest message ever told. What Christ did for his people, that's the happiest message ever told. Verse 23, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof." They see his sovereignty in all things. He raises the storm. He raises the waves. Verse 26, "They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man or at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." It's a never-ending cycle. It's a never-ending cycle throughout the course of this world. It's trial after trial after trial. But every now and then, God's people get to enjoy a lull between the trials. They get a little moment between the trials to thank him for his goodness. Oh, thank you. And they know that it's the storm that brings that realization of his goodness. They know that. And they're even thankful for that too. They're thankful for that. Verse 32, "Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground." Sometimes that is the greatest goodness he could ever bring to a sinner. He turns this river into dry ground, dries everything up. Everything goes crumbling out from under him. Verse 34 says, "He makes the fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein." Why would that be his goodness? It's because he knows when the soul of his child is a dry, parched ground. Everything out here may be flourishing, but he knows when the soul is not. And his great goodness is to make all this out here a barren land so that the soul may thrive, may cry out to him. The fruit of the Spirit may thrive. That he might, verse 35 says, turn the spiritual wilderness of the soul into standing water, and dry ground into water springs, well springs of living water. That's goodness. Verse 36, "And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, and that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase." That seed of the gospel and the fruit of the Spirit. God's people want to dig roots wherever it is, wherever that gospel is and His Spirit is. Verse 38, "He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease." He'll bless them. He'll provide for them. Verse 39, "Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow." They're going to suffer tribulation throughout their entire course in this world. But verse 40, "He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way, yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock." In the end, he's going to carry them up and out, away from this place, all this mess. Verse 42, "The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth." Those who have been made righteous in Christ, they're going to see it, they're going to rejoice, and all sin shall be put away. Verse 43, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Whoever is in Christ, our wisdom. If a man is wise, that just means he has Christ, and he's looking to Christ, and he's listening to Christ, and he's trusting Christ. "Whoever is in Christ, our wisdom, has been given eyes to see and ears to hear and is going to understand." They'll all be taught of God. All of God's people are going to come firsthand to a knowledge of the goodness of the Lord. All of God's people are going to see His goodness in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the blood of His sacrifice, and they're going to give thanks. They're going to give thanks and praise God forever for the great goodness He showed to them through His Son. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.